is Chick Flick Fix. I'm Julia Scott.
And I'm AJ Knox.
We watch chick flicks and rom-coms and decide if they need fixing. Can we make them better or can we make them weird? This week of Musical May, we're talking about Joyful Noise from 2012. It's written and directed by Todd Graff, and it stars Queen Latifah, Dolly Parton, and Kiki Palmer. Todd Graff, turns out he likes music movies. He also directed Camp and Band Slam. One of those is about music camp. Another is about starting a band. They're like pretty much what they sound like. And he wrote Beautician and the Beast.
Oh, I haven't seen that, but that's like a 90s movie.
Yeah, it's
right?
Fran Fine plays, I think, basically a not really a nanny, but
Fran Drescher. Fran Drescher, yes.
And here's something that's not like trivia, but for some reason my brain just got stuck on it. So there's a character who's obsessed with the song Walk Away Renee, and Jesse L. Martin, who is sort of tertiary character in this, was also in Ally McBeal, where that song was like a whole thing, like a recurring musical theme. And I don't know why I was like, is that on purpose? Is it just like, because it seems like something that's weird to have like an on purpose in joke about a character who's in it for a total of like 5 minutes, but I don't know, it's random.
It was also weird to feature him as like the original Tom Collins from Rent, and he like never sings.
That is very true. That is true. I hadn't even thought about that. I was like, that's because I don't think of him as like the cad character generally.
No.
You know?
Well, and he was also in The Flash, which I watched like the first two or three seasons of and really, really liked, and then just kind of just one day just never turned it on again. I believe even in The Flash, they had him sing like, you know, in the context of the show, like I'm singing it at a funeral or something like that.
Why wouldn't you?
Right? I might be wrong, but I feel like I remember that. And I'm like, if they even did it there, you could do it in a musical that is literally about people
musical,
singing.
Yeah. So this was Dolly Parton's first sort of main big movie part for like 20 years. And it was supposed to be kind of like it was supposed to be kind of a comeback, and kind of wasn't, but she's had a couple of really fun like TV movie Netflix series stuff recently.
Yeah, she's gotten really big like with her social justice, you know, and activism work too. Like she's still definitely around.
She was huge in 2012 too, but it's just funny how like this was not the vehicle that she might have thought that
no.
It would be. So I hadn't seen this, and I don't think I'd heard of this, which is funny because like I like Dolly Parton. I like Queen Latifah too, but I don't follow her in the same way. So had you heard of this?
I hadn't. And then as I was like looking it up, because in my mind, this movie had 30 titles before like I rechecked our chat thread. And I was like, okay, Joyful Noise. I was like, yeah, it's called like Sweet January or something. I just kept making up names for it. It was very Princess Bride of me. And,
well, also cause like this, oh, hey, let's make a Glee type movie. Hey, let's make a Pitch Perfect
Smash
type movie.
Or,
hey,
yeah.
And all right. I'm not going to get into it right away, what I think. But what do you have anything to say before you get into
it? Can we do something different? Can we rate it first and then talk about it?
Okay.
I don't know why. I'm very interested to see what you are going to rate this, because I know my rating on a scale of 1 to 10.
Do you want to hear mine first then?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. My rating out of 10 choir robes is a 5. And that is because of the songs.
Okay. All right.
The movie itself is like a, what is your rating?
My rating, and I absolutely kid you not, is a 10.
You can't see my face right now, but I think you can imagine. All right.
It's a 10 on the so bad, it's good version of that scale.
I'm with you, but
I had such a fun time going, what the hell is this movie doing? The whole
I buy that. Yeah, there was one point where I looked over at Pontus. I was like, I never thought I'd see this, but there is such a thing as a boring training montage.
Oh my god, yeah.
Because yeah. Because this is such a movie for, like, why would you waste all that montage opportunity, especially, we're just going to skip our regular structure, especially when, like, the very end requires the montage where they, like, at least go over some of these songs and dance moves.
Yes.
Because you have the full, like,
the regionals.
They have, like, the full-on, you know, sister act, take off your robes moment.
Oh, man.
But then they're a little too choreographed and sing all these songs that they haven't even like acknowledged ever before. It's like, that's where you have those
jumping splits, you know, just some guy from small town Georgia just is like, oh yeah, I can also do this.
That's what all hardware store workers can do. But you know what I mean, like, you could have all these montages of, like, you know, they could even rehearse some of those songs and numbers, and then when the director is like, no, we're going back to the old songs, you would still have, like, that's what this is. But yeah, no, it's, I think my, like, what the hell is going on factor was, like, it was so up and down in my, okay, I'm enjoying this, but it's wild, and I don't know what's going on here. So, like, it was a little too roller coastery for me to give it a 10, but I absolutely respect and admire your 10.
Well, because my choices of a grade were a 1 or a 10.
Mm-hmm.
That is how much I actively disliked this movie on pretty much every level, but had so much fun watching it. It was one of those, it felt like The Room at times. It felt like there was,
you're like, is this on purpose? Is this self-aware? Right,
where it's just like, there has to be. And I mean, I'll briefly go over the plot because it's kind of a mess, but the narrative is so erratic. What it felt like to me is that they filmed this movie. They had somebody edit all the individual scenes, and then they gave all those individual scenes unlabeled with no script to another person and said, okay.
Put them in order.
Put them in order and turn this into a movie. Because there is so much stuff that just does not make sense. Like, there's a scene where some characters are at a nightclub. They're at a nightclub. It's night. They're having a whole storyline in the nightclub. And then it cuts. And the next thing you see is we are with another character on a roof in the daytime, and one of the characters from the nightclub comes up and has a completely unrelated conversation that doesn't follow. Like, nothing has consequences. None of these scenes lead into
I feel like this is really, because parts of this feel very like TV movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's almost as if it was meant to be a mini series where you have time to tell these like five different stories.
Five totally different stories.
And you would kind of be cheering them all. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you'd be following them, be like, okay, yeah, now we're doing this. It wouldn't even have to be like one episode per story, but just so they would have time to sort of develop a tiny bit. Because I think I've said this at least 4 or 5 times over the course of 50 episodes, but like, it doesn't know what movie it is.
It has no idea. There's because a wacky parts, like, scene.
There's wackiness. Like, Dolly Parton in a fight scene?
Yeah.
Which is like, I don't even know how to feel about that. But, and then the whole like Mr. Sue tiny subplot, like, I turned to Pontus and was like, is he gonna have had a heart attack because they had premarital sex? And then he was dead. And I was like, that felt out of place and also like very much like came out of nowhere, different movie.
So he has, yeah, let's
screw the plot.
I'm gonna try to go through the plot.
All right. I mean, even I can do the plot. Basically, Queen Latifah is a strict black mom with a talented daughter and an autistic son who is so many layers of autistics written by neurotypicals.
And it's, I knew it as soon as they introduced him. I was like, oh no, he's going to have Asperger's, and it's going to be like a very,
very special episode.
This is a very Yeah, and it was.
Yeah, and so Dolly Parton and Queen Latifah are in a church choir. Dolly Parton's husband, who is Kris Kristofferson, and I was like, I wanted more ghost duets because you get those two but he dies. Like,
yeah, randomly she sings a song in this movie that has had no magic in it and has a 15 minute ghost duet with her dead husband who dies in the beginning of the film.
So he dies. Queen Latifah is made the new choir director. Dolly Parton is annoyed because I guess she figured it should be Hereditary. They need to go to regionals/nationals/semi-something-something.
Oh my God.
Dolly Parton's grandson shows up. He is a bad boy. It is unspecified how. He's from New York.
Jeremy Jordan.
He's from New York, which of course in Georgia makes him a bad boy. He starts dating the daughter. He also teaches the autistic son to play piano and
very white savior. There's a lot of white saviorism in this movie.
And yell in quarries. Everybody fights. Then they go to they don't make it to regionals, but then somebody else is disqualified for having professional singers, which is actually kind of a fun subplot.
In the most bizarre moment in the entire movie, they find out Dolly Parton tells her grandson the church that won at regionals, who's going into the finals, they got disqualified because they used professional singers and performers. And when we're watching them, Jeremy Jordan is like, oh my God, it's like they've been practicing for 8 hours a day. Do any of them even have jobs? And when you look at what they're doing, it's just a bunch of singers, and yeah, they're good, but they're doing like step touches and freestyle clapping. And I'm like, this is not 8 hours a day of rehearsal.
Singing is hard. And Dolly Parton is just like, oh, I just like, you get the feeling that she paid the professional singers and like, then tips somebody off.
No, she says, she says they got disqualified and they're sitting in her car. And Jeremy Jordan says, like, well, how did they find out that they had professional singers? She just looks in the mirror and with a finger wipes the corner of her mouth.
Which I know is
the universal sign for, I just gave somebody a blowjob.
I thought that too. I was like, I think the direction here is like, pretend you don't know what he's talking about, but that is not how that came off. And then they try to figure out who the other team who went on to the finals was. They can't find them anywhere. Turns out because they're, again, the kids from Sister Act. But they're holy rollers. Yeah. They start speaking in tongues at regionals, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so mom says you can't date. They go to regionals. Queen Latifah wants to do the classics. Everyone else wants to do. I love when they're like, modern pop. What are they singing as an example of modern pop? 30-year-old Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
They go to regionals. The scary holy roller kids are really, really good. Again, speaking in tongues at competition, I'm like, oh, that's, I come from a secular Swedish background, but whatever. And then they start singing and Queen Latifah is like, oh no, this is boring. Everybody take your robes off because your teacher said so. No, wait, that's distract. And then they start doing the most amazing, bizarre compilation of like, when it starts off with like singing a song where you've changed out up in this club to up in this church. These bizarre Jesus covers of songs.
That was so weird. So throughout the movie, they're singing pop songs. And the idea is like these pop songs could be interpreted as about God or religion or Jesus or church or, you know, whatever. And then they do a full, like, Weird Al version.
Right?
Of whatchamacallit, Usher's Yeah. And they have a whole choir with a lot of people of color in it. And who gets this big solo to sing Usher's Yeah? Jeremy Jordan, who, for the whole movie, has been doing what I assume he thought as an actor was New York accent, but I'm sure what came off to me was black voice. He does black voice like the whole movie, to the point where he calls a black guy son. He's like, listen, son. And it's like, oh,
yes. Yeah, no, there's,
you don't. And then he does this thing. And I will say, Jenna has the biggest lady boner for Jeremy Jordan. When she was, she watched the opening credits of this, she saw Jeremy Jordan's name pop up. She's like, ooh, Jeremy Jordan. And at the end of the movie, she goes, I think this movie just knocked him like clear off my list.
Huh.
Like you're 100% welcome, clear off my list.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so they do this like huge number. Woo woo. Jeremy Jordan is back out of the doghouse. They win. I do really love the scene where Queen Latifah is like, let's beat these kids. They knew what they were signing up for. That's the best inspiration speech I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And then they win, and I think that's it. They don't
know. They win, and then there's a wedding.
Oh, right. Because she marries, she, again, the Mr. Soup side plot is so weird of like, and then she meets another Asian guy in the bathroom. And I'm like,
yeah, like the two Asian guys in this whole movie.
Is it just so that it'll make more sense that she's worried that he's going to die too? Like, I haven't heard the stereotype that Asian men have high blood pressure. Like, I don't, it's so weird.
So this movie is so utterly bonkers, and we can totally talk about scenes out of order because the movie's out of order. Like, like the movie doesn't make any narrative logical sense. So yeah, so there's a side character who is kind of like nervous, and she's kind of like a, you know, she's part of the choir. She's like a part-time choreographer a little bit with them.
And she repeats things people say that are either funny or scandalous, which is a fun little weird tick to put in a movie, I guess.
Except when they introduce that tick, they introduce it, and then somebody's like, we heard it. You don't need to repeat everything. Kind of shuts her down, and then she kind of doesn't repeat things anymore. Like, she does it maybe once or twice. Then, like, you set up this whole character trait, and then somebody shuts it down in the first time we meet her, and then we never see that character trait again. She's a little socially awkward, is I think what they're trying to get at. So she has this awkward fling, with Mr. Sue, and then
this is not a movie where you would expect two people to, like, climb each other the way that they do super spontaneously.
No, they have a very like kind of funny, gropey, climby scene where they're just overwhelmed after a rehearsal one night, and they see the Jeremy Jordan and Kiki Palmer characters
and are like inspired
in love?
Question mark.
Yeah, I guess. And then it's like the next morning in her house, and she's making him breakfast, and he's dead. And then it's funeral where she's sitting next to the father, who is like, let me just say, the worst pastor in all of church ever history. Well, maybe not. I take that back. he's inept. Let's just say that.
And then she's like, everyone is going to think that my hoo-ha kills people.
And then he goes, yeah. It's like, what? And then later, when they're on their way, they've just, like, they've seen the other team perform at regionals. The other team's amazing. We don't even see them perform. And then they're on the bus, and they've clearly lost. And he's like, yeah, we're not going to do this again because you guys lose every year, and it's too expensive. Just like, what an inspirational leader.
It also sounds like Dolly Parton and her husband gave a lot of money to the... So yeah, so she meets the guy in the bathroom. They're getting married. I forgot that right after they win, our two teenagers smooch. And the daughter's like, come on, Mom. It's not like it's the first time we've kissed. And I'm like, is this supposed to be like, wink, wink, oh, they've totally boned? Or are they... Anyway, they get married, what's her face, and the new guy she meets in the bathroom, the new Asian does he ever have a name, even?
No, and like, in the whole wedding scene, we don't even see his face. They like, keep his face hidden.
And then the dad shows up in uniform, and I'm like, sir, at a wedding, let the lady have the spotlight for like 3 more minutes.
Yeah.
The bride and the groom can have their day, and you can like, not step into the church the moment they're walking back down the aisle. That is just shitty behavior.
Yeah. This is how much the movie doesn't give a shit. It's the wedding at the end. The whole choir is singing Joyful Noise. And I'm like, oh, they said the title of the movie. And I had totally forgotten that the whole concert, the whole regionals is called Joyful Noise. And so they're singing this song. And then when they put her wedding ring on, it's not even a wedding band. It's straight up an engagement ring. and just an engagement ring. So that's how little this movie gives a shit. It's just like, I just put an engagement ring on. We're going to do a lingering close-up of it, so you'll definitely be able to see it's an engagement ring and not a wedding ring, but that's fine.
Maybe it's some sort of weird engagement tradition that we don't know about in Georgia.
Okay, in Georgia.
So like this sort of, I guess, you know, it kind of counts as a romantic comedy because we have these two also very inept teenagers who can't decide how much they care about things.
And it's a chick flick because it's Dolly and Queen Latifah.
And singing. Yeah. And it's, you know, save the hockey rink type thing. Like, I will say the musical numbers are great. The only one I don't really care for, because, like, when Queen Latifah is sitting in, you know, a single spotlight in the church playing piano, and I'm like, ooh, this is her, you know, Sister Act 2 Lauryn Hill moment, right?
Yeah.
But the lyrics are only "Fix me, Jesus." Fix me, Jesus, and I'm like, is the intended lyric "Fix me" as in make me, you know, solid? Put "Fix me" to the spot, because either way, I don't like it. It's not. It's weird.
Yeah,
that's the. But like the musical numbers are fun. They are way too good for the context, which I appreciate. Mm-hmm. You know, they're fun. They're good. They're weird. People speak in tongues. But the more we talk about this, the more I just don't know how I feel about this movie. I don't care that much about the teenagers.
The more I love it.
Good. I don't really care about the two teenagers because they are so TV movie of the week, both the way they're written and the way they're acted. And you're just like, man, sure.
Well, and of course, by the end, they also recruit. She has a guy who's kind of like lusting after her, and he's kind of the bad boy. And of course, at the end of the movie, they recruit him to play guitar for the band. It's like every trope. I said it as soon as I kind of figured out what was happening with the movie, how they were like roping people in. I was like, oh, I bet the bad boy is going to come and he's going to like have a great voice or have a great
skill.
But like,
how is he a bad boy?
The Mighty Ducks thing.
Nobody in this movie is a bad boy. They're just like, people say that they're bad. So, I mean, the side characters are the thing here, but we've gone over all of those. The first second of the movie, pretty much, I was like, I love that Dolly Parton's church robes are incredibly fitted. But then they talked about it later, so it wasn't as fun anymore. It would have been way more fun if they never even pretended.
Never acknowledged it.
Yeah.
Well, and they do acknowledge Dolly Parton's faceless, too, when they're like, I'm my own woman or something, or I am who I am. And Queen Latifah says, like, you would have been five procedures ago. I was like, oh my God.
Well, I love it. Do you have a favorite character?
Oh, so I think my favorite character was the church couple, Mr. Sue, and I just can't remember her name, the woman who gets married at the end. But then, like, by the end of it, I couldn't figure out like who the movie wanted me to root for either. Mm-hmm. And there's just so many scenes. Like there's like clearly Queen Latifah is the hard ass, right? She wants church to go the way, and Dolly Parton's like a little more like loosey goosey. Let's have fun with it. And they're at loggerheads about the whole thing. But then there's just like, that's the plot, but there's so much other bullshit happening in this movie. Like I'm not even talking about characters right now, but like the movie opens with this amazing church performance. And Dolly Parton's husband is leading the choir and he has a heart attack in the middle of the performance. And then we cut to shots of the town and the town is like dilapidated and closed down. And then an hour and 15 minutes later, we're reintroduced to that plot about the town being dilapidated and shut down with one of the tangential characters who's maybe had like three lines in the whole movie. And it's like him and his dad run a hardware store or something.
I thought they were going to give like the prize money from the thing to the hardware store to save it. But no, this family business is just got, but they don't acknowledge it other than like with
they have like 1 second scene of like, they're like, oh yeah, shoot, the shop is closing. And it's like, all right, back to rehearsal. And never addressed again.
My husband and I have gone to Atlanta, obviously not last year or this year, for a couple of years in a row to go to a fountain pen show because that's who we are. And we hope to be able to go next year. And I was like, do we drive there? I kind of want to do a pilgrimage to this town because of this weird movie, just because it would be the weirdest. It's probably not a real place. It might be. I don't know. It's also funny because, you know, so many things shoot in Georgia because they have like good tax something.
Well, there's a scene in this giant gorge where there's like a little lake with Jeremy Jordan and the kid who has Asperger's, and they're like in there singing because the acoustics or something, and then there's a fight in there. But I'm like, that is a gorge that was featured in season one of The Walking Dead, where some really nasty stuff goes down in that gorge. So I just kept seeing that, and I was like, oh, I just see very bad things happening right here.
So I think my favorite character actually is Dolly Parton, and like 70% of that is because it's Dolly Parton.
It's Dolly Parton.
But I also just like that this, you know, little old lady, it feels weird to say that about Dolly Parton, but let's say her character is that. Lady. Yeah, she is. Yeah. But like,
I mean, she's in her 70s.
She is, you would expect her to be kind of uptight, and she's not. And
yeah,
you, like, she's just a tiny little badass. I would like more development of like her grief, because she lost her husband of a bajillion years, and the whole part of like, oh, your daughter didn't even show up, and I'm like, is there a story there, or is that just, you know, because she's lost her husband, and I would like just a tiny breakdown from her, I think, because like,
yeah,
she's a little too stoic, and that would also be good, because like, then, you know, Queen Latifah and her could relate over not having their husbands there or something, you know, they realize they're the same person. But I just love her strutting around, and I want her to swing her money around too more. I want her to just like, no, I bought a plane. I don't know. I just,
yeah. Yeah. Cause like normally in this movie for me, it would probably be Queen Latifah who would be my favorite character, but like they make her so unlikable. And then her heel turn at the end where she's like on board with the choir has literally no motivation. She just appears in the last song singing with everybody and has a little solo. But she has some of the clunkiest scenes in dialogue. I just feel so bad for her. Like, she's a scene where Jeremy Jordan, she's talking to him because like he and her son got in a fight with the bad boy in town or something. And she said, I had to pause it, rewind it, and write this down, because I was like, this line doesn't make any sense. She says to Jeremy Jordan, you're a falling rock zone, and anyone who stands too close to you is going to have a whole load of rocks fall on them too. And I'm like, what are you? That is such a convoluted metaphor.
You need an editor.
Yeah.
And I think also like parts of it, like, cause I like the daughters, like when she talks about like, you hate me because I'm pretty because you don't think you are. And like, just put one or two little things in the rest of the movie that cement that, because there's no ever thing of like, cause it could be like she doesn't feel pretty because she doesn't have time to dress up, or because, you know, yeah, her husband isn't there or anything. But then she just goes into this like, Queen Latifah's response monologue to that is like this weird mix between sort of well written and well played rage and some sort of like Tyler Perry.
Yeah, there's a lot of like weird, what feels like, and I mean, it's written and directed by a white guy, what feels like white directed and scripted depictions of blackness and black characters. It's icky. And I think to that point too, there's like a real white saviorism problem in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, the church that is primarily people of color is the choir is initially in my like headcanon, because we see the husband is like directing the choir, the white guy. If we're like, all right, so this choir is under the oppressive thumb of this tyrannical white dictator. And then he dies, and then it's Queen Latifah's turn to take over. And I'm like, all right, now we're going to like actually address some real issues with this choir. And no, she takes it like further into problematic territory. And Jeremy Jordan, like kind of, Jeremy Jordan is kind of the low key hero of this movie. And like a lot of the emotional weight of like lifting other characters up comes to him, like as you mentioned, he like saves the autistic son.
And the thing is, like, that same plotline could have been less icky if, I think, and this is one of my fixes, is kind of like, he needs a backstory. Because it's like, oh, he's
some sort of
non-specific bad boy. Just have him have stolen a car once at 14, something. Like, he doesn't have to be super bad, because that would make it harder to cheer them being together at the end. But, like, if he'd done one thing and then he redeems himself in the eyes of Queen Latifah by teaching the kid to play piano, because then it's not then it's not about the son being autistic or anything else. It's just that, like, he either tries to make an effort or completely selflessly is just like, hey, I can play piano, you like music, do you want, you know what I mean? Like, if it just, because then it wouldn't have been about, like, fixing the son. It would just have been like, I met your son, he's cool, you know?
Yeah. And, oh boy.
He's also the one who, like, brings the flavor to this choir.
Yeah. And he has a scene where he's talking to the son on the rooftop, and there's, like, a weird no homo scene with the son that's like, I'm like, this is problematic for any number of reasons, like age. A neurotypical and a neurodiverse person are engaging in this, like, conversation that is loaded in a lot of problematic ways. And again,
that scene would have worked as well. I thought he was going to say, you know, part of my condition is that I can't tell if you're being sarcastic because the other guy's been saying nice things. That would have been funny.
Yeah.
But the scene would have also worked if he had done some silly joking before, so that we know that he, like, makes funny jokes about his autism. Because, spoiler, as an autistic person, we do that. We know things about ourselves, because that could have been, it would have still been like, why do we have to make gay jokes? But it would, like, it was sort of funny if you didn't think about it too much. Because, you know, he says, like, you know, I just need to let you know, one of the things about my condition is that I can't tell if someone is hitting on me or not. It's a funny line. It's just like, it isn't grounded in anything else. So it comes really out of left field.
And then there's like a really weird reaction to it. It's just,
it's weird.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite part? Do we talk about favorite parts?
So my favorite part, I have a lot, because everything is so bonkers, but I think my actual favorite part, the part that I went, what the fuck, besides the whole last performance, which particularly the Jeremy Jordan singing Usher and doing like weird, like it's basically a blackface performance as I read it, without the makeup. But before that, there's like a scene where they're talking about Jeremy Jordan. Like, Queen Latifah is talking to the choir and her daughter's there about Jeremy Jordan, about something about him. I don't even know what they're talking about at this point. And then there's like a flashback moment.
Yeah, the weird like home movie.
Home videos where we see like her, we see the daughter thinking of home videos that she has taken with Jeremy Jordan. And then it cuts back to her and she's just like, oh, and we're back. And it's almost like he died.
Well, cause they mention home movies earlier and the mom, like, is experiencing home movies of her and the dad, which fine. That's a thing, but it's like, okay, but you haven't established it well enough as a memory thing. And also you've known each other for like 3 weeks. You can't.
Yeah. That was the part that comes in like the last act of the movie too. So. It just, oh, and there's also a really creepy part where he drives her to see her dad. Jeremy Jordan drives to see her dad. And she's like, you took me to see my dad? She sees her dad standing there. And we don't really know what their relationship is super like right now. And his response is, hey, I took a big swing here. I'd appreciate a smile. And it's like, oh, this was written by a dude.
Yeah, I don't think I have it. No, my favorite part is the fight scene between Queen Latifah and Dolly Parton, because it is
That's pretty fun.
So out of place, so random, so weird. And the end, it's a very given.
It's a
end.
Hot mess.
It's just, it's so. Is your grade still out of 10?
My grade's now at 11. The more I talk about it, the more I hate this movie, which means the more I like it.
Because here's the thing. This has, on Rotten Tomatoes, a 32% fresh rating from critics. And
that's higher than it should be.
And a 65% from audiences, meaning in total about 100. And a 5.8 on IMDb. And what's funny is that, like, the critics are, like, pretty unanimous in basically what we said. Like, this movie has some fun parts and people who try to do the best of what they're given, and the music is amazing. And then they're like, two stars, because you can't, you know.
It doesn't recover the mood. Like, the music, yes, and some of the musical numbers are really fun, but also some of them are weirdly super heavy auto-tuned. And I'm like, all right, you have Queen Latifah, Dolly Parton, Jeremy Jordan, just at least that trifecta there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even Keke Palmer as well, who I was unfamiliar with.
It's not just auto-tuned, but it's like so studio recorded. And I'm like, set up the equipment in the church or like in the building so that you get the acoustics right, because there's such an immediate switch over from like, now we're actually singing and now it's lip sync.
Yeah. And I'm like, you have four amazing singers leading your movie. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to do that. And even like, I looked him up because he looked kind of familiar. Even the guy who, with the hardware store, he was, the Luke Wilson character, from Legally Blonde when they did Legally Blonde the musical. Mm-hmm. Like you have
people in there.
He's Broadway talent. You've got an amazing cast. Why? Oh, just the choices.
Obviously this movie needs fixing. And I've talked a little bit about, like, the Mr. Sue thing is weird. And I think basically a lot of these people just need a little bit more backstory so that mm-hmm. you have some sort of emotional grounding. And also, this movie needs to be 94 minutes long at max, because this is at most two hours plus. Like, it's just over 2 hours long. And, like, because it would make the stories tighter. You would have to, like, sort of make the storyline a little neater. You would just like, mm-hmm. you wouldn't have these weird stretches of like, you know, they're just there. And like the conflict needs to be clearer. Cause if the conflict is just like, oh, this boy is from New York, you don't even have to be like, you can't date a white boy or you can't date a rich boy or whatever they want it to be. Just be like, something, give me something. Let us understand, you know, who Dolly Parton is to Queen Latifah and vice versa. Just something. They need to be people a little bit more.
Yeah.
What about you?
To be absolutely honest,
there's no saving.
My only fix for this movie is, I don't know why, this is the line that came into my head when this moment happened and I wanted somebody to say it loud on a microphone at the finals or whatever, the regionals, whatever you want to call it, when they all take off their robes, my gut reaction, because I'll just say I have a very like tense relationship with religion mm-hmm. in general. I tried to put that on the shelf for this movie. There was some stuff that really irked me personally about its depiction of religion, but I do like, and I'll back up. I do like that, like, the autistic son said, "Mom, you love God. You keep talking about how great God is, but he made me this way. And I don't think of him the same way you do." And that's like that's a really interesting, I don't think they handled it well, but that's like a really interesting.
And it's a really interesting thing, because it's not just that. He says something like, you know, you can't care very much about me if you think it's okay that I'm like this. And she tries to, you know, she's like, no, I love you and I love God, and God gives us what we can handle, blah, 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 whatever. I can't remember exactly. But like, it's not just that he says like, how can you believe in God when he did this to me? But also, do you care about me if you think God is okay for doing this to me? And again, I doubt very much that they had any, anyone on the spectrum as a reference.
No.
Like, because parts of this feel kind of icky with the person talking about, but anyway, you wanted them to yell.
All that to say, when they get to the regionals, the finals, whatever, and they rip their robes off, I just wanted Dolly Parton to get on the mic and go, "Robes are for pussies." I don't know why. That's literally the phrase that came into my head.
That would be really funny. Or if they were suddenly disqualified.
Yeah, I never call people that. I think it's like a cheap insult, and as Dan Savage always says, like, pussies are tough and balls are weak.
Mm-hmm.
That was the line that popped into my head, and I just wanted Dolly Parton to get on the mic after everyone ripped their robes off and just really hardcore.
It is really funny, but it's also like, it's such a blatant.
That's my only fix.
It's such a blatant sister act to rip off.
It is 100% blatant sister act.
All right. We did what we could.
Yep.
Can we make it weird? I have two things. First is.
Okay, because I will say again, I can't think of a way to make this film weirder than it is.
Well, I have two things. One,
good.
I want all of the songs in their performance to be incredibly inappropriate songs that have been Jesusified. Because some of them are just like, you know, songs that they've, again, sister act style, like they've just basically changed he to capital H-E or what, you know, like they've just changed a few things. But I want them all to be like, you know, I want my neck, my back. In a Jesus version. Yes. I just want them all.
My Jesus and.
Yeah.
My Jesus got my back.
Oh, God. If we weren't already going to hell, we are now. But you know what I mean? I just want all God. The whole performance to just be like, wait, did they just. Is this what I think it is? That's what I want. The second one.
Wait, I just thought of the right lyrics for that.
Okay.
My neck, my back. Jesus Christ was black. Because he was.
Mm-hmm. Or at least.
That's it.
A dark shade of brown.
Yeah.
But, okay, so the other one, so they need a church to sponsor the choir to be able to compete. And the pastor is like, I'm not gonna sponsor you. Which is like, well, you've already put the money into it. Why would you like take, is it cause he doesn't like that they sing pop songs? Whatever. So Jeremy Jordan gets ordained online and is now, you know, so, I want them to have to set up a church with like tenets. It turns into either a cult or just
an actual,
like, or just like a weird church. I want to know. I know that's not how it works, but I want them to have had to set up a religion to be able to get ordained. Ordination.
Well, you're ordained, aren't you?
No.
Oh, I thought you were for some reason.
No,
I'm ordained.
Well, cause in Sweden, you can't, You can't get ordained.
You can't game the system like you can in America?
No, you can't. if the people who can perform weddings are either religious people within a certain group, and then you either go to city hall or each city has a number of people, which is like in the low hundreds, if that, who can perform free range weddings. Which
free range weddings?
Just somewhere, you know. And they are either a lot
of them. I'm gonna change my info on my website
to free range weddings. Instead of, so yeah. I'm not ordained. I guess I don't know if I'm not a citizen of the U.S. I don't know if I could perform a ceremony in the U.S. that would be valid because I'm assuming I would need to sign stuff.
Yeah, you do need to sign paperwork and send it into city hall and stuff.
So whatever. I just want them to like set up. The tenets of this church. It can turn into a cult. That would be kind of funny. I would follow it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Queen Latifah and Dolly Parton. But just, this isn't the first time I've turned movies into cults. I like stupid cult movies. But that is my make it weird. And yours is just Dolly Parton with a dirty mouth.
No, that's my fix it.
All right.
That's my fix in this movie. I don't have a make it weird because this movie is so utterly bonkers and so strangely edited. And there's like so many scenes where Queen Latifah and her daughter have a fight in the car. And I'm like, where do they keep driving?
Around. There's a lot of, you know, open space in Georgia. You know what? This episode actually was a really interesting artistic choice of us that was completely intentional right off because it is just as disjointed as the movie is.
Yep. Yep. I love it.
Did we learn anything from this movie?
I learned that, like, there is a... Because sometimes with chick flicks and rom-coms, when they get so bad, to me, they just become, like, boring.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that, like, I think other kinds of... Other genres of films, when they get bad, like, it's bad special effects. It's like a bad sci-fi movie, and it's really, like, B-movie and campy. I don't need all of that stuff to enjoy a bad movie. I learned that like a bad movie can still be really enjoyable just for its poor editing.
And what this has that tends to be what makes a bad movie good is like it just does its thing. It's just like very earnest, kind of like with the stupid Hallmark Christmas movies. We're like, so nobody's even pretending or trying. I think this movie might think it's better than it is, but it's not. I learned, funnily enough, this is not an intentional segue, but I learned that I really want to watch both of the Sister Act movies again.
Can we do both for the episode?
Let's. All right, because next week we're closing out Musical May by talking about Sister Act and now also Sister Act 2, which I need to tell our special guest. Because, like, those movies are...
Sister Act 2 is the better movie, I think, if I remember correctly. It's been a long time, though.
Well, they're good in different ways, I think. I think Sister Act 2 has the more fun performances, and also you don't have that weird... Okay, let's not spoil the discussion too much, but like, every time I watch it, I forget that like, oh, right, there's this whole like mobster murder subplot. I just remember the thing where they don't have the same thing. Whereas Sister Act 2 is about like a little bit more of, both of them are like Save the Roller Rink type movies. Anyway, because they are superior, mother superior movies to this movie and has what?
Oh my God.
You're welcome. So we're going to talk about both Sister Act movies next week, and then we're leaving on a jet plane for a jaunty June and traveling around the world.
Wonderful.
In 31 days? 30 days.
Days has September, April, June. Yeah. Yes. I have to do the whole thing till I get to the month.
It's dignified. You can find our show notes at theincomparable.com/chickflickfix. We're Chick Flick Fix on Twitter and Instagram, and I really want to know if you've seen this movie and what you thought of it. And
it's on HBO Max right now. If you have an HBO Max subscription, just go watch it. It's
it's an experience.
Like, it's an experience. Make a cocktail.
Yeah, I really want to know. And also, if this discussion was disjointed in a way that was followable at all. We'll be back next week. Say goodbye, AJ.
Goodbye, AJ.